The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Dan O'Brien joins us, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs. Dan, all the money that the government has announced in spending and in tax cuts today, can it be afforded?
I think it probably should. We'd have to have a big shock to the economy for it not to be afforded. But it is something of a risk. Before today, the government was planning on spending an extra $6 billion this year. It added $4 billion on top of that, and it was already breaking its own rules. Then it's already added another $4 billion to next year. So it's certainly going a little on the imprudent side, but on the positive, it's not as those increases aren't as big as, let's say, pre-election giveaways back in the Celtic Tiger era. So we can take some comfort from that.
Explain that a bit more, because when we look at the overall size of the numbers, it looks enormous. And Danny McConnell and myself earlier were going through, we could hardly remember anything as big. But proportionately to the size of the economy, is it somewhat more prudent?
Well, that's even well. So the economy's grown a lot, but there's a big question in Ireland amongst economists of how big the economy actually is, because we have this huge and unusual multinational presence. So there's a little bit of a question around how big the economy is, and much more importantly, whether that's sustainable. And as I say, I think it would take something like, you know, Donald Trump being elected and taking unprecedented measures towards American companies who are based abroad to bring jobs back home. Something like that would have a big shock for the Irish economy, and that's a real risk. But overall, these companies are heavily invested here. I think it's unlikely they're going to suddenly just up sticks and disappear, regardless of what the worst case scenario of what Trump might do to bring jobs back to America. But it's certainly, there are risks out there. There always are. We live in a very unstable world.
Well, we see what's happening with Iran firing missiles at Israel today, and you wonder what might come out of all of that. But I suppose the question, Dan, that a lot of people are starting to ask is, are we setting ourselves up for another crash? Are we losing the run of ourselves like we did in the Celtic Tiger and setting up a situation whereby we might have another meltdown?
Well, I think that what the risks we face now are different from the risks we faced back then. Back then, we were really heavily overborrowed, particularly at personal level. So our debt levels now, relative to our disposable income at a personal level, is half what they were back then. So we had a huge credit bubble. Now, there are no indications at the moment that there's a credit bubble going on. So usually, to have a crash of the kind we had for the 5 years after 2008, you need credit bubbles. The risk to the economy now is that something goes wrong with the multinational sector, which we are more dependent on than ever. Now, as I say, there are so many different companies. It's concentrated. We have, 5-10 companies are really important. But as I say, even with the most radical measures taken by an American president, I think it's unlikely that all of those companies are going to radically change their operations in Ireland in a very short time period. So I don't see a crash coming, but I do see risks to the multinational sector, which is now more important than ever.
I can give you two more beyond reshoring of jobs because of Donald Trump. One is a lack of suitable housing for the staff that they want to employ. And the second one is the lack of electricity supply, particularly given the data centres that they all depend on. Could it be that by not investing enough money in new housing and a new electricity infrastructure, despite the promises made today, that we run the risk of losing some of those companies?
I think it's less a risk of losing them. It's a risk that they won't add to their investments. They'll simply say there isn't enough capacity in the Irish economy, so we're not going to grow anymore. So rather than a collapse and then moving out, they simply say, okay, we're going to look at other countries to invest in rather than Ireland. So that would mean we'd stabilise and maybe not grow at all, rather than collapsing as has happened in 2008. Therefore, I see a different kind of risk here. It's a more slow burn risk than the sudden collapse when our banking system and credit bubble burst.
Thank you very much. Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist of the Institute of International and European Affairs. Joining me in the studio now, Holly Kearns, the leader of the Social Democrats and TD for Cork South West. What would you have done differently in today's budget if you'd had the chance?
We would have taken an entirely different approach. So what we see from all of the governments, or all of the budgets from this government, is the same playbook, where we have a little bit for everybody, but it's spread so thinly that nobody really notices. A little bit more for some who don't really need it. Quite a lot of emphasis on one-off measures, not lasting structural reform, and not a whole lot to really improve the country for the better for the people in it in the medium to long term. And it's that overemphasis on one-off measures that has left so many people behind, that make people feel disillusioned and like the country isn't working for them. And that's because one-off measures evaporate fast. They're very welcome in the moment, but what's left afterwards? Are disability services more accessible? Is housing more affordable? Are healthcare waiting lists any shorter? No, they're not. So our approach would be to not have the same kind of big tax spend that we're seeing from the government, but to invest in our public services that are so underfunded for over a decade now that need that investment, because we think to bring down the genuinely bring down the cost of living for people, having genuinely free education, a public model of childcare, free healthcare, quality disability services, all of those things are what make a difference. And to have that kind of opportunity that this government has, record surpluses, and to squander it with these one-off payments, throwing money around to see what sticks, trying to buy an election, trying to buy people's votes by giving them back a few years of their own money, I think their legacy will be that, one of wasted opportunity.
How would people have done without, I mean, obviously there are people who don't need these electricity payments that they've had in recent years, but many people do need them. I mean, would you not have given those?
That's in our alternative budget. So when I say now, the difference in our tax spend, we have about a third of what the government have, but we do have energy supports. But Matt, we do it in a very different way. To give your listeners a bit of a broad picture of how the government have approached energy supports, 100 million will have gone to holiday home owners. So we wouldn't take that approach. We would give a lower rate to higher income earners and a higher rate of energy credit to people who really need it the most to try and pay their bills, because we don't really, like, that's the only one-off measure that we have in our budget. And the reason we do is because, like, electricity prices are still up 80% since pre-Ukraine war. So there is a special mitigating circumstance for that. But, like, the government's budget now is, like, one-off measures galore just between now and polling day, essentially. It is blatant. I think it's transparent for people, and I hope that people will see through that approach from government.
Put on the headphones, please, because I want to bring in Jed Nash of the Labour Party, its finance spokesperson. Jed, what's your reaction to today's budget?
Look, it's a piecemeal budget and untargeted in so many ways. It certainly didn't paint a picture, Matt, of how Ireland would be transformed in the future by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil if they are to form indeed the next government. Now, we can only conclude, I think, based on today's budget, but not just on today's budget, based as well on their poor performance in terms of delivery of public services and critical public infrastructure, that they actually don't have a plan. And the only plan is to provide as many temporary once-off measures, the most abused term in Irish politics at the moment, to as many people as they can before an election, and then worry about the consequences after that election. And there are risks, because we have seen, not just from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil today, but from Sinn Féin as well, a dangerous move to narrow the tax base. And as I said in my contribution, my response to the budget earlier on today, who speaks of 2007? Well, Dan is quite correct. I mean, the risks aren't the same. There are still risks. The same people who tell us they lie awake at night, quite correctly worrying about the concentration of corporation tax receipts in the hands of three or four large foreign direct investment companies in this country, you know, they're the very same people who have signed off on significant reductions in the universal social charge. And we know from experience, when difficulties arise in our economy, that a tax cut is very easy to give, but it is very, very difficult to take back.
Sorry, are you against the reduction of the USC?
We are. And for lots of very, very good reasons. We have a real deficit in terms of public investment in this country, and people are paying the price all of the time. We would much prefer to use the resources that were used today to reduce the universal social charge on, for example, public accessible childcare. We proposed in our own alternative budget that we would start by providing 6,000 early years places through a pilot public system next year at a cost of 58 million. I mean, we could, for example, ensure that we would have no, you know, we would have care resilience provided to all carers in this country without having to go through a means test for, you know, a significant portion of the USC that was actually essentially given away today. We're more interested in building up public services, because that's where workers and society really
benefit. Sorry, Jed, what about giving people the opportunity to decide for themselves what they would do with their own income by having more of it, rather than having the state take their money and, as we have seen, waste it?
Well, they say, I think we're now in the realm of discussing a government that is only managed by the duopoly of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. There are alternatives. I mean, the reality is, and I'd refer you, Matt, to a really interesting Parliamentary Budget Office commentary, pre-budget commentary last week. Public investment, infrastructure investment in this country has yet to reach the previous height of 2008. Our population has expanded rapidly since. The social and economic demands and the climate demands are much more complex, and that is no way to run a country. We need an emphasis now on public investment, on investing in infrastructure to make sure that we create the sustainable jobs and businesses of the future, and to continue to attract foreign direct investment and indeed invest in our Indigenous enterprise sector that needs attention.
But Holly Kearns, would you be confident that if the state is given more money to spend, that it will be able to do so? I mean, governments come and go, politicians get elected or they get thrown out of the Dáil, and yet we have a public service, a civil service, which oversees all range of things from the National Children's Hospital to bicycle sheds in Leinster House. Why should we be confident that if loads more money is given to them, that they will spend it well or wisely?
I think that's a really important question. From, you know, the security hut to the bike shed to the children's hospital, the waste is inexcusable, and I think from a taxpayer's perspective, it's extremely frustrating.
How would you sort it out?
I think that there is a huge incompetence, not just in investing in public services in this budget, we've just discussed that, but in terms of any kind of oversight or accountability in relation to government after government after government. And it's one of the kind of founding principles that Roisin and Catherine set up the party, that there would be an oversight body for this kind of thing that would, you know, kind of in terms of accountability, in terms of transparency, and in terms of, you know, like that the public good is really prioritised in relation to taxpayers' money. And we've seen time and time again, this budget is reminiscent, I think, of the Bertie ones. And I think we need that kind of an oversight. And so even our alternative budget, we have money put aside to set up a department that would do that. Sorry, not an individual department like the Department of Education or Transport or whatever it is, but an oversight body to ensure that there is transparency, accountability, and that people really can then be sure and confident that their money is being spent in a good way. Because saying, oh, well, the public service, they misspend it, so we don't invest in public services, that leaves us in a place, Matt, where we rely on the private sector. We've seen the impact of that. We've seen it in terms of housing. We've seen it in terms of healthcare. It leaves people behind. It disproportionately disadvantages poorer people. We can't say, oh, well, it didn't work in the way that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been doing it for the last 100 years, so we can't do it at all. We say, how do we make this better? How do we improve it? And of course, we can do that. Other countries can. Ireland seems to have a huge problem in relation to this, but of course, that can be tackled with the right mechanisms.
Let me put it to Jed Nash as well. Jed, I mean, you're a socialist. Why do you have so much faith in the state to deliver when we see that the permanent government and its arms make a hames of nearly every project they're given public money to spend on?
Well, as I said when you put this question to me in a different way, you know, we can't be fatalistic about the capacity of the state to develop the kind of infrastructure that we need.
Well, tell us how you change it, how you make people take responsibility.
What we do have in this country is an accountability deficit, and dragging public servants and others in front of dollar committees like the Public Accounts Committee is not accountability. We need to do that better, and we will do that better, and we in Labour are developing plans to ensure that that is the case, because citizens and taxpayers should demand, and we as public representatives, as elected representatives, should demand accountability from the public service. I mean, we've seen over the last few weeks the circus involving mismanaged projects in Dublin, and I won't rehearse what they are. Listeners know all about them.
All too damn well.
What we haven't had is ministers actually taking responsibility at all for those particular
projects. Sorry, is it ministerial responsibility, or is it actually the full-time officials of the state who always stay in place no matter who the minister of the government is?
Well, that's a very fair point, but we're getting neither now, and this is the problem, and that's what needs to be fixed. We cannot simply leave this country's problems up to the private sector alone to resolve. Okay. And this idea that we simply give people back as much of their own money as we possibly can for them to make their own decisions on how they invest that, really is the road to nowhere.
Your last word, Holly Kearns.
Just on that, in the Social Democrats' budget, there is an allocation for an anti-corruption agency that has a duty in that regard as well, to kind of ensure that there's accountability and transparency and oversight of public spending. And, like, unless that's budgeted for and costed, it's not going to happen. So I think it's, you know, important just to highlight that we have that in our alternative budget.
Holly Kearns from the Social Democrats, Jed Nash from Labour, thank you both.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.